Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael reading the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, June 9th, 2020. Front page. Coronavirus. Cases continue to spike in Midland County. Chief Medical Officer says, "We are not doing our part to protect ourselves nor our neighbor," by Stuart Doreen. The increase of coronavirus cases from last week continued into this week, as Midland Health Department officials reported another 14 confirmed cases Monday. That brings the total number of cases to 40 since the start of last week, which is more than the previous 3 weeks combined, 28. The total number of confirmed cases during the pandemic now is 169. The health department, coming into the weekend, showed 73 of the 155 confirmed cases have recovered and 13 have died. Ector County reported 19 more cases of the coronavirus Monday, making the total there 206. In speaking with infectious disease colleagues, and knowing what we know about the virus, it is an expected occurrence, stated Dr. Larry Wilson, Chief Medical Officer for Midland Health, in an email to the Reporter Telegram. People are out more and active. There is more exposure and there will be more infections. Given how long we have been more liberal with community activity and allowing more people to congregate, the timing fits the incubation. It remains a real concern that we have some control over. Of those total new 14 confirmed cases in Midland County, 11 were female, which means the total number of females testing positive in Midland County has topped 100. The 105 female cases are 41 more than the number of males testing positive, according to the health department. The new batch of cases also continued the trend of younger people being impacted. The health department reported 10 of the 14 confirmed cases were people in the 30s or younger. Most of the cases Monday were those in their 20s, 5. That means the age range impacted the most during the pandemic is 20 to 29 with 28. The health department reported 4 cases from people younger than 10, and that raised the total in the 0 to 19 age range to 21. There were 2 cases from Midland County residents in their 30s, 2 from residents in their 40s, and 2 from residents in their 50s. Last week, the age ranges impacted the most were people in their 30s, 7, and those between 0 and 19, 6. Of the confirmed cases reported Monday, all are self-isolating at home. The source of exposure for 6 was community acquired, which means acquired or arising in the general population. 4 were contact to a known case, 3 were household contact to a known case, and 1 to a case in Utah. It remains crucial that we practice social distancing as much as possible, Wilson wrote. I see many people out and few have face coverings. We are not doing our part to protect ourselves nor our neighbor. A slow burn is inevitable with the increased activity and congregating, but we can prevent an out-of-control fire if we remain thoughtful, Wilson added. Social distancing, face coverings, hand hygiene, and avoid touching one's face, eyes, nose, and mouth are the recipe for keeping exposure to a minimum. Most importantly, avoid exposing the elderly. Also, be extra careful around diabetics, those with lung disease like asthma and COPD, obese persons, and hypertensives. The health department also reported that 2 confirmed cases are employees at McDonald's located on Loop 250. Positive county employee for COVID tests. Midland County reported Monday that an individual working in the district clerk's office has tested positive for coronavirus. The county reported that the person is currently self-isolating at home and the county is taking necessary disinfecting measures for operations to continue. It is not known what day the county employee counted toward the running total of coronavirus cases. Statement from McDonald's. McDonald's responded to having three employees from its West Loop 250 store test positive for coronavirus. Our highest priority is to protect the health and well-being of our people. We recently learned that three employees at our restaurant, located at 3310 West Loop 250 North in Midland, have tested positive for the coronavirus and are currently under medical care. As soon as we were notified of the confirmed cases, we immediately enlisted a professional cleaning and restoration service to conduct a thorough sanitation procedure per CDC guidelines and notified local health authorities. At the same time, we identified and reached out to all restaurant staff who had been in close contact with the employees who contracted the virus. These employees have been asked to self-quarantine for 14 days to ensure they remain healthy before returning to work and will be paid during their time away from the restaurant. To help ensure the safety of our employees and customers, gloves and masks are provided to our crew members on a daily basis, and we're also conducting wellness and temperature checks before each shift. We've also installed protective barriers at the counter and drive-thru, in addition to adhering to social distancing guidelines and enhanced hygiene procedures. We have been in contact with the employees and are providing support during this time. Our people are the heart and soul of the McDonald's family. We are keeping these employees in our thoughts for a fast and full recovery, said Anthony Carrillo, McDonald's owner-operator. National Weather Service says 10th 100-degree day reported at airport, from staff reports. The National Weather Service reported another 100-degree day on Monday and showed that Tuesday's weather will be cooler. The National Weather Service reported a high temperature of 104 degrees on Monday, the 10th 100-degree day this calendar year. The National Weather Service, in its forecast, showed a high temperature for Tuesday that is 13 degrees cooler. The National Weather Service is calling for winds gusting up to 35 miles per hour on Tuesday. In the morning, that could mean patchy blowing dust. During the day, those winds will provide a more normal high temperature, as the high is expected to reach 91 degrees. The low on Tuesday night will fall into the 50s for the first time this month, according to the National Weather Service, which also reported Monday that high temperatures should again climb into the mid to upper 90s by the end of the week. Department heads asked to lower their budgets by 15%, by Caitlin Randall. The Midland County department heads have been asked to lower their budgets by 15% because of expected revenue loss from the coronavirus, commissioners said Monday during the first of three meetings scheduled to discuss the county's budget for the 2021 fiscal year. The coronavirus pandemic and oil industry downturn are expected to impact tax revenue next year in various ways, including a decrease in property tax revenue as home values fall and a decline in revenue generated from court cases and citations after trials and hearings were postponed. Most of Monday's meeting was spent discussing the proposed budget of the Midland County Sheriff's Office, which accounts for 16% of the county's total budgeted funds. A copy of the 2021 fiscal year proposed budget, obtained by the Reporter-Telegram, shows the budget requested by MCSO is 1.6% less than the 2020 adopted budget, falling short of the directive to cut funding for all departments by 15%. MCSO's proposed budget for the next fiscal year is $24.4 million, and this year's budget was $24.8 million. The costliest subdepartment of the Sheriff's Office is the County Detention Center, according to the budget report. The requested budget for the detention center is higher than in this year's budget, $12.8 million, compared to $12.4 million. The difference appears to be driven by building maintenance at the detention center. $373,000 has been requested to replace cell doors, according to the proposal. MCSO is also requesting funds for riot gear and gas masks in response to recent protests that have taken place locally and nationwide, an official with the sheriff's office said during Monday's meeting. The cost of body armor, shields, and gas masks would be $22,000, the official said, plus four grenade launchers for about $12,000. The commissioner's court also discussed the district attorney's office's proposed budget on Monday. That office's 2021 requested budget is $6.4 million, 12.8% lower than this year's budget of $7.2 million. The overall proposed county budget for next year is $149 million, 43% lower than the 2020 adopted budget of $239 million, according to the budget documents. Budget hearings will continue at 8:30 a.m. Tuesday and Wednesday at the Midland County Courthouse. Basin dealers see uptick in recreational RV sales, by Christopher Hattern. After spending too much time in their homes during the COVID-19 pandemic, some Permian Basin residents are seeking refuge and freedom with the purchase of an RV or trailer. Ken's RV Sales in Midland and Bailey Tolliver RV in Stanton are two Permian Basin dealerships that have seen a rise in recreational RV and trailer sales this spring. A lot of folks, after having been confined to their homes, get cabin fever and want to get out and have some fun, Bailey Tolliver General Manager David Kidd said. Ken's RV Sales General Manager, Mark Adkins, has noticed an uptick of first-time buyers at his dealership. According to a survey done by the RV Industry Association, 51% of respondents who plan to take an RV trip this year cited current health concerns, increasing their interest in RV camping. The RV allows people to have control over their living space while adhering to social distancing policies in the outdoors. More people are being more careful, Adkins said. Kind of cautious about staying in the motels and stuff of that nature, so they'd rather have something of their own. That way, they know how it's cleaned and taken care of. They're doing other things like camping. The recreational part has increased. Adkins says an added benefit are kitchens, so families can prepare a meal while they travel, rather than stop at a restaurant. Both dealerships have historically relied on residential purchases for oil and gas workers. With the oil market slumping, they say that sales overall are not that much different from this period of time in 2019. But the increase in recreational sales are driving their business for the time being. Nationally, RVs are up probably about 10 or 12%, Kidd said. Here at this location, I feel pretty confident that we will be up 10 or 12% on the year as well. The RV industry underwent a manufacturing shutdown for several weeks due to the pandemic response, so inventory is becoming an issue for recreational purchases. We had a fairly decent month for April, Adkins said. Now in May, we had another really good month, considering all this stuff was going on. We were shocked and surprised that our sales were what they were. We're getting scared because the trailers are trickling in now. City provides more info ahead of pool openings. From staff reports, Doug Russell Pool and Washington Family Aquatic Center will be opening this week for the 2020 summer season. The City of Midland reports that because of less than normal staffing applications, the pools will alternate 6 days during the week. One of the two pools will be open each day. All pools will be closed for maintenance and training on Mondays. Residents should be advised that attendance is currently limited to 50% of normal occupancy per the governor's orders, according to the City of Midland. In an effort to accommodate as many pool goers as possible and to allow staff to clean the facilities, entry passes will be sold for three-hour sessions, according to the city. Passes go on sale at the pool each day, 30 minutes prior to the posted opening times. Passes will be limited to a Session A or Session B, good only for the date stamped on the pass, and they will be available for $3 each. The city reports no punch cards will be sold this summer. Due to staffing limitations and COVID-19 precautions, there will be other rules, including no private parties or reservations will be allowed. There will be no lap swim times and no swimming lessons. Also, no family nights are scheduled. Lastly, residents are encouraged to bring their own outdoor folding chair, according to the city. If any resident needs special accommodations, he or she should speak to a manager at the site. The pool days and hours will be as follows. Washington Family Aquatic Center, Wednesday and Friday, Session A, noon to 3 p.m., cleaning 3 to 4 p.m., Session B, 4 to 7 p.m., Sunday, Session A, 1 to 4 p.m., cleaning 4 to 5 p.m., Session B, 5 to 8 p.m., Doug Russell, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, Session A, noon to 3 p.m., cleaning 3 to 4 p.m., Session B, 4 to 7 p.m. Important note, do not come to these facilities if you or anyone in your party has COVID-19 symptoms or has been exposed to anyone that has had symptoms in the previous 14 days.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, June 9, 2020. This date in Midland. On June 9, 2001, Jason Nix pitched a complete game as the Midland High baseball team defeated Austin High 4-2 to capture the Class 5A title in Round Rock. Meetings coming up. City Council, 10 a.m. today. Council Chambers, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Avenue. Midland ISD, 4:30 p.m. Wednesday. Virtual meeting, midlandisd.net/stream. Gas prices. Midland Odessa gas prices have risen 3.3 cents per gallon in the past week, averaging $1.75 a gallon Monday, according to Gas Buddy's daily survey of 156 stations. Gas prices in Midland Odessa are 12.1 cents per gallon higher than a month ago and stand 85.2 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. The following are historical gasoline prices in Midland Odessa on June 8, going back 10 years. 2019, $2.60 a gallon, 2018, $3.06 a gallon, 2017, $2.22 a gallon, 2016, $2.18 a gallon, 2015, $2.57 a gallon, 2014, $3.48 a gallon, 2013, $3.37 a gallon, 2012, $3.57 a gallon, 2011, $3.71 a gallon, 2010, $2.71 a gallon. Source, Gas Buddy. How sick are you? Midland Memorial Hospital offers a nurse triage program, 68 Nurse. The program is designed to help people determine whether their health situation warrants a trip to the emergency room. Midland residents can call the line by dialing 686-8773. The program is free and available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Local nurses are available to help you determine the best place to receive care for your situation. 68 Nurse can help you save time and money by directing you to the most appropriate healthcare option, whether it's a neighborhood clinic, urgent care center, emergency room, or just staying home. Clubs. Pottery expert Jesse Trujillo from Midland College will appear at today's meeting of the Palette Club, 907 West Wadley Avenue. The meeting is scheduled for 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Today in history. Today is Tuesday, June 9, the 161st day of 2020. There are 205 days left in the year. Today's highlight in history. On June 9, 2004, the body of Ronald Reagan arrived in Washington to lie in state in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda before the 40th president's funeral. On this date, in 1954, during the Senate Army-McCarthy hearings, Army Special Counsel Joseph N. Welch berated Senator Joseph R. McCarthy, Republican Wisconsin, asking, "Have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last, have you left no sense of decency?" In 1969, the Senate confirmed Warren Burger to be the new Chief Justice of the United States, succeeding Earl Warren. In 1972, heavy rains triggered record flooding in the Black Hills of South Dakota. The resulting disaster left at least 238 people dead and $164 million in damage. In 1973, Secretariat won the Belmont Stakes, becoming horse racing's first Triple Crown winner in 25 years. In 1978, leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints struck down a 148-year-old policy of excluding black men from the Mormon priesthood. In 1980, comedian Richard Pryor suffered almost fatal burns at his San Fernando Valley, California home while freebasing cocaine. In 1986, the Rogers Commission released its report on the Challenger disaster, criticizing NASA and rocket builder Morton Thiokol for management problems leading to the explosion that claimed the lives of seven astronauts. In 2008, retail gas prices rose above $4 per gallon. 10 years ago, the U.S. and its allies scored a long-sought victory by pushing through new U.N. sanctions over Iran's nuclear program, punishments Tehran dismissed as annoying flies. The Chicago Blackhawks won their first Stanley Cup in 49 years, as Patrick Kane's overtime goal delivered a 4-3 win over the Philadelphia Flyers in Game 6.
Midland Reporter-Telegram Opinion Page, Tuesday, June 9th. Guest View. Get involved with matters of importance in your community. Let me begin by asking that God, Almighty Sustainer of the worlds, guide my words, reason, and understanding. I have served my country in war, as did my father and grandfather. I am trying to become a force for change, yet I feel as though I will not achieve full citizenship when I see the unlawful brutality against my brothers and sisters. I cannot fix the distortive narrative in the minds of some Americans as to the fundamental nature of my blackness, yet I do not despair. I struggle to live my ideals when I am continually reminded that my accomplishments, aspirations, and dreams could be dashed with a single police encounter. I see myself in Mr. Floyd and the heinous and unlawful acts he endured. I work through intense feelings of hurt and pain by demanding of myself to act in a just manner. I ask myself, do I seek justice if I burn down my community? Do I seek justice if attack and defame those who have stood in the gap between injustice and justice? Do I seek to heal this land or destroy it? Police are given immense powers to restrain freedoms and terminate life if necessary, a charge given to a select few in our country. I personally know the gravity of such power and responsibility within one's hands. It is an honor and privilege to be asked to wield such power. Therefore, one is required to be held to the highest standards above the average citizen by maintaining one's bearings at all times. I rise each day determined to be a soldier for justice and mercy. I will honor those who came before me in a meaningful and constructive way, by advancing liberty and personal responsibility. Our nation can never be better than the least of its citizens, and if a more perfect union we seek, then no one has the luxury or choice of being a spectator to injustice. Get involved with matters of importance in your community. Be the change. Isaac G. Garnett, Midlander. Midland Reporter-Telegram Obituaries, Tuesday, June 9th. Eddie Wayne Clatt. Eddie Wayne Clatt died peacefully in Midland on June 5, 2020, at the age of 74, surrounded by his loved ones. Eddie was born on January 4, 1946, to William E. Bill and Dorset Thomas Clatt in Midland. Eddie is survived by his soulmate, Cindy Schumann Clatt, of 29 years, were married in Midland, Texas. Although having no children of his own, he wholeheartedly accepted Cindy's as his. He is also survived by the children he chose, Christopher Eric Stewart and Angela D. Swenson and her husband Bob, all of San Antonio, Texas. Andrea Lynn Wozniak and her husband Jerry of Verona, Wisconsin. Max A. Stewart and his wife Kirsten of Killeen, Texas, and Holly Jo Matthews of Lubbock. He is also survived by his grandchildren, Mary Olmo and husband Chris of San Antonio, Stephanie Stewart of Bend, Oregon, Amelia Claire and Paul Wozniak of Verona, Wisconsin, Christian Blankenship of Redondo Beach, California, Camden Blankenship and his wife Cassandra of St. Peter's, Missouri, Dallas Stewart of Killeen, Texas, Carlton Buffy and Seth Matthews of Lubbock. He is also survived by his great-grandchildren, Tristan and Grace Olmo of San Antonio, Texas, and Keegan Blankenship and Liliana Lily Ramos of St. Peter's, Missouri. Eddie is also survived by his brother Ernest Clatt and his wife Ann, his nephew Ray Clatt Jr. and his wife Darla, his nieces Teresa Murphy and her husband Ronnie, and Kara Maddox and her husband Ricky, both of Midland, and Gail Whipple and her husband David of San Angelo. Surviving him also are his in-laws, Ruthie and Ray Barron, Tricia Schumann, Jody Schumann, Mary and Dave Hopper, Andy and Liz Schumann, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. Eddie is preceded in death by his parents, Bill and Dorset Clatt, his sister Barbara Black, and his brother-in-law Garland Black, and his niece Kristen Clatt, and his in-laws Max A. and Hilda Schumann. A celebration of his life will be Wednesday, June 10th at 2 p.m. at Downtown Church of Christ, 505 San Angelo Street, Midland, Texas. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made to a charity of your choosing. Arrangements are entrusted to Ellis Funeral Home. The family is very grateful and would like to thank the doctors and nurses of Midland Memorial Hospital Emergency Room and Intensive Care Unit for their dedication, love, and service to Eddie and us, as well as the Midland Fire Department for their quick response and care of Eddie. Joe Luis Alanez. Joe Luis Alanez, 66, of Midland, passed away Saturday, June 6th. He was born on December 3rd, 1953, to Manuel and Felipa Alanez. He is survived by his children, Junior and Joanne Yarte, Cyprus, Jose L. Alanez, Jr., Midland, Joey and Joyce Sanchez, Midland, and Joshua L. Alanez, Midland, as well as his ex-wife, Nora Perez, Midland. His grandchildren, Randy Yarte, Ryan Yarte, and Jonah Vasquez, Jonica Alanez, Riley Yarte, Jaden Alanez, Joe L. Alanez, Amara Alanez, and Monica Alanez. Also to cherish his memory are his sisters, Connie Prado and Sylvia Alanez, and brother Solomon Hernandez, as well as many nieces and nephews. He is preceded in death by his parents, Manuel and Felipa Alanez, his sister Eloisa Hernandez, and brothers Manuel Hernandez and Evaristo Hernandez. Viewing has been set for Tuesday, June 9th from 4 to 8 p.m. with the rosary honoring Joe's life at 7 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Graveside services will take place at Serenity Garden Cemetery on Wednesday, June 10th at 10 a.m. All attendees are reminded to practice social distancing and proper protective procedures. Death notice for June 9th. Bert Cornelius Jr. Bert Cornelius Jr., 98, of Midland, passed away Saturday, June 6th at Manor Park. He was born June 2nd, 1925 in Bront, Texas, to the late Molly Ross and Bert Cornelius. Funeral services will be held Thursday, June 11th at 1 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, followed by interment at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit www.ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, June 9th, 2020. Front page. Oil Show. The Permian Basin International Oil Show is on for the fall. By Sam Waller. S. Waller at OAOA.com. Organizers of the Permian Basin International Oil Show are proceeding with plans for the 2020 event in hopes that large gatherings will be allowed by the fall. The 2020 edition of the Permian Basin International Oil Show is scheduled for October 20th through 22nd at the Ector County Coliseum. According to the event's website, https://www.pboilshow.org, organizers are monitoring conditions as they pertain to COVID-19, social distancing, and safety precautions to provide a safe atmosphere for the show. One other change announced on the website regards terms for cancellation of contracts, extending the deadline for doing so from July 21st to August 15th to receive a full refund if the cancellation is received in writing. The Permian Basin International Oil Show began in 1940 as the Little International Oil Show with 35 exhibits. The show lasted 2 years before World War II intervened. Then, in 1950, oil men from around the Permian Basin revived the project. The group formed a nonprofit corporation, and the Permian Basin Oil Show Incorporated was established. The show was presented again in October 1952 and has been held every 2 years since then. With growing interest from foreign exhibitors and attendees, the name was changed in 1994 to the Permian Basin International Oil Show, Incorporated. The 2018 Permian Basin International Oil Show, Incorporated, boasted more than 700 oil and gas-related companies exhibiting in more than 1,100 spaces. Over the years, the show has grown in both size and importance. Having survived the booms and busts, industry slumps and slowdowns, wars and embargoes, the Permian Basin International Oil Show remains one of the largest petroleum expositions in the world. The three-day show draws producers, service companies, investors, and innovators. It is held biennially. It serves as an international marketplace where hundreds of booths and exhibitors fill the Ector County Coliseum. Whether an executive, an engineer, a geologist, or an operator in the field, the Permian Basin International Oil Show has something for everyone, the website said. 20 new cases over the weekend. By Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O, at OAOA.com. Odessa Regional Medical Center Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohit Sarvanan said that the county has had 20 new COVID-19 cases since Friday during Monday's virtual hospital briefing. I think we're starting to see some of the cases from Memorial Day weekend starting to come up. You can see two distinctive spikes after the Mother's Day weekend and a larger distinctive spike after Memorial Day weekend, he said, adding that the county will see another rise in cases in around a week or a week and a half relating to recent protests. This is the largest number of cases that we've ever had since this thing started with regard to new cases, he said. The Ector County Health Department reported that 206 people have tested positive for the coronavirus in the county, and 19 are probable. 56 patients have active cases, 88 are pending, and 144 people have recovered from the virus. 6 Ector County residents have died from COVID-19-related illnesses. Medical Center Hospital President and CEO Russell Tippin reported that they've had 111 positives and 15 positive patients are in the hospital, which Tippin said is the most they've had since the start of the pandemic. 10 are on a designated floor and 5 are in the CCU. 3 of them are on a ventilator. 77 results are pending and 2 patients died at MCH over the weekend from COVID-19-related illnesses. ORMC President Stacy Brown reported that out of 451 tests, 24 people tested positive, 420 have tested negative, and 7 are pending. Brown said there is 1 COVID-19 patient in the hospital, and they are not on a ventilator. Sarvanen said that ORMC is not requiring nursing home patients to test negative twice before returning to their facility and that the nursing home has some accountability in being able to isolate these cases. Acute care is not necessary for every single one, he said. 5 residents and 2 staff members tested positive for the virus out of focused care at Odessa Nursing Home. 4 focused care at Odessa residents are in MCH, and 1 patient is in ORMC, but will be transferred back to the facility on Tuesday, Sarvanen said. Rebecca Reed, a focused care representative, said in a text Monday that 4 focused care at Odessa residents are in isolation after being exposed to the 2 staff members that tested positive. Reed reached out to Focus Care at Crane, but they did not get back to her by press time. Mayor David Turner, who is in quarantine after he said he was exposed to someone with the virus, reported that he is feeling well. For both city and county events, officials said that those planning on having events with social gatherings need to provide a safety plan aligning with CDC recommendations. Turner said that the city will have to make a judgment for each event on a case-by-case basis. If we see that people aren't going to wear a mask, then we may have to restrict those to smaller gatherings, especially when you see 20 cases over the weekend. Governor Greg Abbott announced Monday that the Texas Division of Emergency Management, TDEM, is coordinating with elected officials, health officials, and emergency management offices to increase COVID-19 testing in underserved and minority communities. Odessa and Midland were both mentioned in the plan for more testing. City and county officials said they have not heard word from Abbott's office or TDEM regarding the increased testing. Tippin said that comments made regarding hospitals making more money are being refunded if they list patients as COVID-19 positive, are inaccurate. Brown echoed Tippin's comments, saying, "Not only do we not get paid more, we have no idea what we will get paid or if we will get paid. We've incurred significant cost preparing and isolating and moving things around to be able to accommodate the patients that we do need to take care of." Groups to demand removal of trustee. OA News at OAOA.com. A group of Odessans plans to attend an Ector County ISD Board of Trustees workshop at 6 p.m. today to air their feelings and demands relating to social media posts from Board Member Doyle Woodall. The meeting will be held face-to-face in the boardroom of the Administration Building at 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. ECISD is taking steps to protect against the spread of COVID-19 with staff and in the community. Everyone will be required to stop at the front desk, have their temperature taken, and answer screening questions prior to accessing the building. Visitors are required to wear a face mask. An online petition at change.org has started for Woodall's removal. The goal is to get 5,000 signatures. Esteban Hernandez, who started the petition, at least expects 100 people to attend the board meeting. Superintendent Scott Murray and Board President Donna Smith issued a joint statement Saturday responding to Woodall's posts and comments. Woodall said Sunday he has received death threats and plans to write a letter of apology. Among the many posts, there is an image of a hangman's noose with words above it that say, "If we want to make America great again, we will have to make evil people fear punishment again." Another has Nazi officers with the words, "It's not murder," above it, and "Jews aren't actually people," at the bottom, and another photo of a pregnant woman and another woman with "It's not murder" on top and "Babies aren't actually people" on the bottom. Another shows a large group of Muslims in prayer and says, "Spill a few gallons of bacon grease on that street and it would clear out fast," followed by three American flags. The comment below says, "This is not Saudi Arabia. This is Sweet Home, Birmingham, Alabama. Nervous yet?" Mike Atkins, the attorney for ECISD, said June 5th that Woodall cannot be removed from the board unless he is voted off or commits a felony. Bobby Duncan, a retired teacher, voiced support for Woodall on the Odessa American Facebook page. "As a longtime Odessan and one who opened doors to learning for ECISD students for over 40 years, I believe I have a vested interest in this community. Continuing attacks and threats against Doyle Woodall are very disturbing. I may or may not agree with what Mr. Woodall posted on Facebook, but I believe he has our constitutional right to express his opinion. I know Doyle Woodall. I know him to be of irreproachable character," she wrote. "The community should be honoring him as the outstanding school board member that he is. Doyle has worked behind the scenes to initiate so many programs and improvements for students, as well as teachers and staff. How do I know? Because although retired from the classroom, I care about the quality of education offered and am concerned over the treatment of employees. I can always rely on Doyle to listen and help resolve problems. He is a caring and compassionate man. He is a servant to Ector County and deeply cares about its future, our kids. Mr. Woodall has been deluged with hate mail and threats to him and his family and property. Come on, Odessa, we're better than that. Let's tell him thank you for all the good he's done," Duncan added. Monday, the Ector County TSTA NEA issued a statement demanding Woodall's resignation or removal for posting the noose on Facebook. Ector County ISD employees are angered by the offensive and insensitive posting of a noose by Board Member Doyle Woodall on his Facebook page, the statement said. Although the post was put up before George Floyd's tragic death at the hands of police officers, it nevertheless makes us question Mr. Woodall's sense of fairness and his fitness to help govern a school district with many employees of color and a student body that is overwhelmingly minority. Anous has long been a symbol of racial prejudice and hatred in our country, dating back to the years when many innocent people were lynched strictly because of the color of their skin. To this day, it is a symbol that people of color loathe, and so should every fair-minded American, the statement said. Mr. Woodall has a history of racist and intolerant Facebook posts, the TSTA-NEA statement said. Woodall said he had received phone calls from former TSTA officers and others that the statement wasn't voted on and was full of lies. Javier Ruiz, president of the organization, said the executive board met and they were given the go-ahead to issue it. Hernandez said there are two groups that have joined together to demand action on Woodall. He met educator Rod Johnson at the Black Lives Matter protest June 3rd, and Hernandez said Johnson connected him with other educators in the community. Overall, we kind of want to apply the pressure on the rest of the district and the other board members to let him know that this isn't acceptable and basically force him to resign, Hernandez said. That's going to be the goal of ours because we did see the district statement from Murray and Smith. But they want to take it a step further and get Woodall's resignation. Hernandez said when he first saw the posts, he didn't know if it was real, so he scrolled through more of Woodall's Facebook page and saw the other content. This isn't the only thing he's posted. It actually gets worse. Then, when I posted originally on Twitter, I saw there were a lot of people who were just as upset as I was, very offended, and I saw a lot of attention being brought to it, so I thought, let's try to do something. That's when I started the petition, Hernandez said. Some of the other items on the agenda are discussion of the 2020-2021 budget, tax rates, and property values. Discussion of ECISD's response to COVID-19. Discussion of and request for approval of the reorganization of the Board of Trustees, naming a president, vice president, and secretary. Possible request for approval to move into a closed meeting for personnel matters. The agenda says the board will deliberate the hiring of an executive director for talent development, director of purchasing, and a campus principal for Bonham Middle School. MyOAOA.com. Previous coverage, TINYURL.com/YAN528FY. Petition to remove Doyle Woodall, TINYURL.com/YBKKCRMG. ECISD website, TINYURL.com/TTFPX4G. Quick hits. Party on the patio. The Shack in the Back. 11610 West Business 20 East, Midland, has scheduled Party on the Patio each Wednesday. Doors open at 5 p.m. For reservations, text or call 349-3857 or visit shackintheback.com. Vaccination and Microchip Clinic. Fix West Texas has scheduled a vaccination and microchip clinic from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday at the West Texas Horse Center, 2400 South Moss Avenue. Other clinics are also scheduled from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Saturday at the Rankin Volunteer Fire Department, 705 Main Street, Rankin, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Sunday at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland, and from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Sunday at Comanche Trails Amphitheater at Comanche Trail Park, 100 Whipkey Drive, Big Spring. A spay and neuter clinic will also take place June 18th through 29th at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena, Midland. Appointments are required. For more information, email registration@fixwesttexas.org or visit fixwesttexas.org. Car show meet and greet. Actor Victor Rivers, also known as Magic from Blood In, Blood Out, will be participating for meet and greet and car show from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday at Floyd Gwynn Park, 1015 North County Road West. Selfies with Rivers is $20 for adults, $10 for ages 13 through 17, and free for children under 12 with a parent. Autograph is $20 for outside merchandise. Any merchandise purchased from Voto Loco booth, the autograph is free. For more information, call 210-504-0579 or visit www.facebook.com/events/111-885-2788-49-8737. From Staff Reports. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County confirmed cases, 206. Ector County negative, 2,452 out of 2,746 tested, with 88 pending. 6 deaths. Midland County, 169 confirmed cases with 13 deaths. Texas, 74,978 confirmed with 1,255,899 tested. Total Texas deaths, 1,830. U.S. cases, 1,938,823 total confirmed, and 110,375 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Closing prices. Posted $35. Futures $38.19. Natural gas $1.789. Benchmark U.S. fell $1.36 to $38.19 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Donation. Kendra Scott in Midland donated $12,745 to Medical Center Health System for COVID-19 relief on June 8th. The money donated was a portion of the proceeds from all online and in-store appointment sales made from May 1st through 10th. The funds will be used directly for COVID-19 patient care and equipment. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, June 9th, 2020, OAOA.com. Man charged with assaulting father with shotgun. OANews@OAOA.com. An Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed a 23-year-old man punched and hit his father with the butt of a shotgun. Joshua Luke Brown and Derrick was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, a second-degree felony. The reported assault happened around 3:12 p.m. June 4th in the unit block of La Promesa Circle, an OPD affidavit stated. And Derrick and his father, Mark Harlan and Derrick, reportedly told officers they both live at the residence and they are a father and son. Officers were advised that an argument escalated into an assault. Joshua and Derek punched his father multiple times in the face when he tried to take away his black Mossberg 500 shotgun, the affidavit detailed. Joshua and Derek got the shotgun away from his father after he fell during the assault. Joshua and Derek reportedly started punching his father multiple times in the back of the head, and he also hit his father in the back multiple times with the butt of the shotgun. Mark and Derek had a visible small cut on his left forearm, the affidavit stated. He also had visible swelling and bruising on his left temple, which is consistent with being punched. He had visible red marks on the back of his head and neck. Man listed in critical condition after motorcycle collision. OA News at OAOA.com. A 35-year-old Odessa man is in critical condition after he was reportedly involved in a motorcycle collision. The reported collision happened at 9:24 a.m. Saturday near the intersection of Highway 191 and Billy Hext Road, an Odessa Police Department press release detailed. OPD and Odessa Fire Rescue responded to the collision, where it reportedly showed that John Baker, 35, of Odessa, was operating a 2019 Harley-Davidson motorcycle. Baker was traveling west on Highway 191 and attempted to exit at Billy Hext Road. Baker left the roadway and struck a curb, which caused the motorcycle to end up near the front of Crossroads Church, the press release stated. Baker was reportedly transported to a local hospital with life-threatening injuries. Speed was a possible factor, and the investigation continues.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.